matadors, basically, and knowing more about their story, their personal story. And we wanted to know why they were, you know, prohibited by law through so many years. And also, you know, the film has so many layers, so we conceived it with many layers to explore more the gender roles and masculinity as well, and in our own culture. So we started the film, and him and I both live in the United States, so it was a way to look our own culture from far away. So that was motivation. Myself? I'm 33 years old.
Your favorite color?
I live in Madrid. My favorite color is blue.
It's a good color. And how did you and Gemma first begin working together?
We met working in another documentary directed by Lourdes Portillo. It was a film made in Mexico, in Juarez, about the murders of women in Juarez, in the border of United States and Mexico. Mm-hmm. And she was Gemma was the researcher, and I was the production manager, and we met there working with Lourdes, and we learned a bunch from Lourdes. She's a great filmmaker. Mm. And Gemma has a journalistic background, and I wanted to make a documentary so we kind of, you know, put together our own, you know, knowledges and decided to make a film.
Yeah. And for you, it was women's issues that were kind of mutually important, or how did you mm-hmm. find this particular story?
Definitely, yeah, mm-hmm. that was a women issue, and you know, Spain has so many contradictions, and it's so traditional. And we were so amazed that we are still amazed that bullfighting even exists nowadays, right? So we wanted to know why is this so powerful in our own culture? So, and most of it, why women wanted to participate in this.
Mm-hmm. And for you, what was the conclusion then? What did you find? Because it's a dense story, and for me, it's not exactly clear even at the end, which I think is kind of nice. There's still this element of mystery. Why,
right.
when it seems for me so unfeminine in a sense, when the female is cast as this person that is, or this character type that is meant to be nurturing and caring,
right.
and how would you want to destroy life when you were also
mm-hmm.
the giver of life? In a sense.
It's so complex, and I think that the motivations are the same for men and women, and it's so interesting because, as you can see on the film, both of them love the bull.
Yes.
So it's this contradiction of loving this animal and wanted to kill it. They wanted to give it a good death, right?
Yeah.
That's what Paribas says. And it's about a power role as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's so ancestral. That comes from so many centuries ago.
Exactly. And that's incredible to see this power, or this trying to take power, in
mm-hmm.
a sense, from the 13th century, I think.
Right,
it said.
Right.
But, I mean, that's incredible.
And it's even more complex when
yeah.
a woman takes that position,
mm-hmm.
right, that men had been controlling for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, a bullfighter is a man. Is the,
yeah.
the quintessential symbol of masculinity is a guy, a man, and the macho, and the killer, right?
Yes.
So, and having a woman taking that role is just mind-blowing. It's like
Absolutely.
Flipping the omelette. What is this
yeah.
about?
Yeah. And I must contextualize the image that you see above you. It's how I first came across this film
oh,
was
right,
because
uh-huh.
I was very interested in a piece by a South African artist, Nandipa Mthembu, who you see in the image, and she discovered an arena in Mozambique because this was a Portuguese colony, and actually it is the colonies that have some of the oldest arenas. So in Peru and Lima, I
mm-hmm.
believe those are the oldest arenas still standing, which is ironic because one kind of positions this tradition very much within the kind of European centers in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also this idea of Latin America as being the most liberal space
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
terms of allowing women to do this. And Nandipa found this arena, which is, I was telling Celeste, scheduled to become a shopping mall in the next couple of years. But before it's demolished, she went and shot this video piece there. But after having gone to Portugal to learn bullfighting, but of course no one would teach her because she was a woman and she was black. So it was all of these kind of paradoxes coming up there. But it's been really interesting the kind of responses to this, because it's also people don't recognize her in a sense because she looks so masculine in this, and she's actually a very glamorous Louis Vuitton wearing artist. And so it was quite an experience for her, and also this performativity and seriousness and the discipline, I think, was a really interesting experience for her. And also what comes out of the film is just this incredible commitment to this. But I think that there was something of that for you as filmmakers. I mean, it took you 8 years to make this film.
Yeah, so long.
Is there too much? I mean, it's an incredible result.
It's so exhausting. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we were working in other projects at the same time, but it was so hard to find the money to produce the film, and funding was the big issue and the main reason why it took us so long, and also because we were following their lives. I mean, we were kind of waiting to see what happened, what new developments happen in their lives. So we were kind of waiting to see, because we wanted to tell, you know, this whole narration of their lives.
Yeah.
And we were waiting, and they went through very hard times, as you can see. I mean, Maribat kind of got to this glass ceiling.
Plateau.
Right, and she couldn't move forward, and Eva decided to quit. So unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, for her. But it took us a long time.
Yeah.
And that is our first film as well. So.
And so visions for the next? Are you already working
on something? We are developing a new documentary about queer tango.
Okay. Wow. That's
also, again, exploring gender roles.
And another global story? Or is it located in a particular place?
It's in Buenos Aires, San Francisco, and Berlin.
Wow. These are three locations I wouldn't normally have put together, but that's really exciting.
Yeah, no, it's a big thing going on with same-sex couples learning tango around the world, and this big international festivals of queer tango.
Okay.
One is happening in June in San Francisco. We are going to go and shoot that.
Fantastic.
And Berlin.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah.
Who knew that?
Yeah. And the name of your filmmaking sort of duo is Tal Cual?
Tal Cual Films, which means as it is.
As it is, And so you are always looking for these stories that are really driven by characters that you can relate to as a viewer and as a storyteller.
That's how we believe that a documentary is more, you know, you can get more intimate and you know, sharing, you know, feelings with your audience if you portrayed a character.
Exactly.
And, I mean, there are great films about many other subjects and objects and so on, but that's so far how I feel more motivated about talking about people.
And I think it's more realistic in terms of how it affects the way that you see a documentary, is that you no longer view it as something objective, because we know that it can't be ever.
Right.
And it's a completely personal.
And it's a great way to share stories as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a learning process how you make a documentary, but it's so, I'm so delighted to be able to share it with people. So this is a part that we are enjoying so much. Now that when it took us so long to finish it, but this past year we've been showing the film so many places. And this is actually, I'm so honored to be in a museum context. So.
And I mean, of course, it's received so much recognition. And how was it to then go back to, I know that you showed it in your hometown. How did people respond to it? Kind of story?
It was funny because we did not get any money from Spain. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All the funding came from the United States,
interesting.
Which is very interesting, right? Who knew? And actually, was shown with the public television in the United States bought it.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And two of our executive producers are from the U.S.
Okay.
Two women.
Hmm.
One, So, and Spain, they didn't took care of us at all.
Yeah.
We were, you know, knocking at doors of producers and TV stations and so on. And now that we showed it in the Cuenca Film Festival, and we won the award. And 2 weeks ago, Gemma was in her hometown in Medina de Campo in Valladolid, and we won the audience award as well. And it's been great. I mean, people like it. I mean, it's a very controversial subject matter, even for us, for Spaniards. is something that we don't want to talk about. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just not, don't bother. Why women want to do this? You know, like politics, like any mm-hmm. other power position in society.
Okay.
We are not allowed to be part of it, even filmmakers. Really?
Still.
Oh, definitely yeah. still, don't you think?
I mean, obviously, Spain is such a different context, and it's, yeah, I think it's so different being in a Dutch context. It's hard to imagine. I think, of course, these codes kind of exist, but in very different ways
right.
that maybe aren't so visible. Mm-hmm.
So the reaction has been so far so good.
Yeah. And it is what it is.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Great. I don't know if anyone has any more questions or things that you wanted to raise.
I was wondering, you just said, you know, you didn't like profiling when you started the film.
I didn't.
So you hear that of Eva saying, like, I didn't like it, and but now I understand. Do you now understand or like it?
I don't understand it, and I'm not quite sure if I like it or not. I really, you know what is so interesting? I was so fascinated by them, by Eva and Maripaz. Mm. I was so attracted to them, to their stories, and to them as women and their determination. And of course, bullfighting has so many beautiful things. You know, I don't deny that part. And it is something, I don't know if you guys have ever been to a bullfight in your life, but it's so it's something very weird happened to you. I mean, so many feelings go to your mind. It's like you don't want to look at it because it's disgusting. It's very grotesque,
yeah.
actually. And but then you cannot stop watching it. It's true. I mean, even for me, being a Spaniard,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys there from Spain have been
to
you never been to a bullfight.
Mm. Exactly.
No, definitely. I mean, they wanted to prohibit in Catalonia, in one region of Spain, and it's true. I mean, bullfighting managed a lot of money in Spain, millions. I mean, a lot of money. Bullring managers and bull breeders and the whole, you know,
structure.
Destruction.
This, yeah.
It's in like boxing. I don't
yeah.
know that much about boxing, but I imagine like any other like big sport. For us, it's like, I don't know, baseball or something
mm-hmm.
like that. And it moves a lot of money. So I wonder what is going to happen. So it's now this big controversy about, you know, people against bullfighting, and I don't know what is going to happen, but it's true, younger generations are not that much into bullfighting anymore. But when we were starting researching the project, we interviewed a bunch of young women, and we found a bunch of them wanted to become bullfighters. And not, you know, bullfighting is such a hard profession for men and women, and only few can get it. And but we interviewed a bunch of them, I remember, until we found Eva.
Mm-hmm.
That because her story was so dramatic
so
and
dedicated.
And,
yeah.
Right. So
mm-hmm.
we thought that she could be a good character.
Okay.
It's quite easy to imagine what makes the person want to keep on doing it. I mean, because it's like an addiction, huh? It's like
mm-hmm.
being a superstar and all these feelings. But did you ask them what made them pick up this glove in the first place? What was the first thing that they wanted to do this for?
Well, for Maripaz, it was something, I mean, when we talk with Maripaz, she says that she cannot imagine herself doing something else. I mean, it's what, I mean, she comes from a family, all
mm-hmm.
of them wanted to become bullfighters. She's the only girl, and all of them fail. And, I mean, something that you see, imagine that your father was a carpenter, and you grow up at home with that, and you wanted to become a carpenter. I don't know, it's something more like visceral than that. And for Eva was this attraction, this kind of, Eva is more like more romantic and more passionate about it. She saw a picture and wanted to become that. More irrational in a way. And until she sees the reality, and she didn't like the reality, right? So no, but it's so it's hard to explain even for them why and what drives them to become bullfighters.
Because it's also a gender issue, isn't it?
Definitely,
they
yeah.
see men around it doing the
there's no differentiation. Even with the
costumes.
Culture, if you look from the afar, you cannot tell that this is.
You cannot tell, yeah. I mean, it's what defines to be masculine and feminine. Once you put a suit on, who
and
says that a bullfighter is a man's profession? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you put a uniform yourself and you are a policeman or a policewoman. I mean, what defines that? That you have a dick? I mean, it's not really. I mean, you have to have the skills in order to kill a bull. And I think both men and women are capable to kill. Right? No? I don't know.
And a killer, but not out of the same rationality, and neither do they become more powerful because actually they have to strive to take the place of El Matador.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, was it like
a link?
Well, the murders of Juarez, we did not direct that film, it was another filmmaker. A connection between the killers, you mean? The subject matter?
Yeah.
Hmm. Not really. I mean, I wasn't in the position of directing that film, so I cannot. I was not in that. I wasn't in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And that film, choosing this subject matter, killing the bull was not part of our making decision start point. Hmm. I know it sounds harsh, but we kind of forgot about that. We knew afterwards because it was so hard to find funding for the film because the animal rights issue.
Yeah.
But because something that we kind of have in our culture, it wasn't, we didn't thought in that way. Mm. I think I didn't answer your question, I'm sorry.
Conception.
The women are situated. Like it seems one they're murdered and the other they're the matador, in both of them they seem very oppressed. So I would have thought that in one, like stepping in this other position, freedom and they would be like liberated.
Well, the first one, they are the victims. I mean, they are being killed, right? Women were being killed, and they are still being killed in Juarez, with, you know, and nobody's doing anything about it. And in this one, they are the killers, but I think the motivations are totally different. I don't see them as victims, even though they are oppressed by law and politics and so on.
Mm.
I mean, they are trying to find a place in their own culture, you know, in a tradition. Oh, well, that's a good point. Who?
The law?
No. I mean, they are after, actually, what one of the characters, Angela, during Franco's regime, took it to court. Say that was a discrimination, a labor discrimination, and from now on, thanks to Angela that put it to court, they are allowed to bullfight with no discrimination. But still, I mean, it's like an invisible discrimination.
Yeah, she
right?
said that there.
I mean, Maripaz is the only professional matador in the world. There are no one else. I mean, it's so hard to achieve that rank, right? Hmm.
Great. Well. Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you for
it's
having
such
me.
A pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And please check our website for the next series. Yeah. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you.